so much for being here. Thank you, Jeff, for leading us in worship. Greatly appreciate that. As I was here today and wondering if I was going to lead singing, I was definitely like, please, no. We don't want this. I'm so glad he came, he did that, and had the opportunity for that. We are going to be in Psalm 16 today, but before we get too far into opening our Bibles and getting the passage, let's have a word of prayer, and then we will get going. Dear God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the blessing that it is to know you, to hear you speak to us through your word. May your spirit just move upon us. May it guide us as we look in your word, and may we take it to apply it to our hearts and lives, and may you encourage all of us as we dig into such a wonderful psalm. In your name I pray. Amen. So you can turn your Bibles to Psalm 16. As I was thinking through what I wanted to speak on in coming days, I really was burdened about Psalm 16. It's one of my favorite. In this psalm, David is looking to God. David is in some kind of trouble. I'm not sure what it is. And he's going to God and saying, hey, I need some help. And as we look at this passage, one of the things that David looks to God for is he says, preserve me. In other translations, he uses the word refuge. And so, if you've ever been out in the rain, I have, and as soon as you start feeling the sprinkle, your mind starts doing a few things. First thing it ever does is it starts calculating, okay, how far am I from the nearest building, car, tree? And then it goes, okay, how fast do I need to go to get there before this rain becomes unbearable? And so whenever we are outside and begin to experience weather, we seek something called a refuge. And if we are far from it, we often run very quickly, if you are in the mood for running. And so, as we think about the psalm, think about the idea of whenever you're in trouble, especially when you're in trouble in life, when things happen, you get the bill you weren't looking for, something breaks in the house, and you're like, oh no. Or you have someone come up to you and they tell you something and you're like, okay, what are we going to do? We can start to look at the psalm and go, okay, what did God, through David, instruct us to do? What did David do? How do we go from, I'm in a whole lot of trouble, and, it's all falling apart, to, I'm safe? The way we do that is we find our refuge. So let's read Psalm 16, whole psalm together. I'll just read it for you and you can follow along. Psalm 16, verse 1. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. Their sorrow shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is my portion, of mine inheritance, and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night season. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt shew me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Verse 1, Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. David's saying here, there's a problem. And the first place I'm going to run to, the first shelter I'm going to seek, is I'm going to go to God. And I'm going to trust Him as my shelter. And he says in verse 2, O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to thee. When looking at this verse, it can be a little cryptic when it comes to what is David saying here. What David's saying is, I have claimed Jehovah, or Yahweh in the Hebrew, as my God. You are my Lord. He lives in a culture full of even Israelites and other nations that love their gods. They have lots of them. They have them in their households, and they worship all these other gods or these beings that they think exist. They make little images, and they go, I'm going to put you on my mantle. I'm going to pray to you, and you're going to make life work for me. That was the culture. That was the multiple gods of that culture. And David says, You alone are my God, my shelter. When he says, my goodness extendeth not to thee, he's saying, I have nothing good apart from you, God. It's not so much in this passage that, goodness isn't coming to David from God. That's not what it is. He's saying, I have no good unless I have you. That's how important God was to David. And then he goes on, because he looks at God, and he says, but the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. So he looks at God and goes, you are my God. And then he looks out and goes, and you know what? I love you so much that all these other people who claim you, I like them too. Sometimes it's hard. We're struggling. You look around. Maybe there's strife. You look out over all the people here and you go, the excellent ones? Really? I don't like that guy. That's not what David says. David says, even the struggles he had in his kingdom, and different Israelites that he had trouble with whenever he was running from Saul, or he was running around trying to find shelter, and spent a lot of time on his own. He says, hey, for those who worship God, they are the excellent ones. So as you look around, you see the different people, this congregation, these are the excellent ones. That's because David had put his hope and his love in God. And David goes on to contrast, okay, what about these other gods? Verse 4. Their sorrow shall be multiplied that hasten after another god. Their drink offerings of blood I'm not going to offer, nor take up their names into my lips. David goes, I've looked at God, He's my God. I've looked at His people. Now I'm looking at all the other people and going, the sorrows of those, if you're going after another God, life's going to be hard. And David knew that very well for the Israelite people in his own context. We think of David just came after the book of Judges. The book of Judges is detailing how Israel forgot to do everything that God told them to do and suffered because of it. And David's going, hey guys, listen to me here. If you're going to chase after another God, your sorrows are going to be multiplied. If you're outside and you're worshiping other gods, it's not going to go well for you. And David goes even goes so far that, you know what? I believe that so much that I'm not going to participate in any kind of their worship. I'm not going to talk about their gods. I'm not going to swear by them, take oaths. Not there. I will not even participate in any form of worship of those gods. I want nothing to do with them. Because they are no gods. And they only bring suffering. Then he declares again, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance, of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. So he turns back to God and says, you are all I need. And then he starts to build this kind of picture here when he starts talking about Lot. And inheritance. Okay? When he gets into this, he then proceeds in verse 6, because I need verse 6 to explain a little bit of what's going on. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. Lines. The lines have fallen for me. Is he doing trig? That's not what's going on. When he's talking about lines, boundary lines, he's creating this picture of when Joshua gets in the land, they conquer the land, and they start casting lots to determine who gets what piece. And he's going, he's bringing up that picture, and he's going, okay, God has given me this, the situation in life. He has chosen me for this. Remember, David was the chosen king of Israel. Even when he was on the run, David was the chosen one through who the Messiah would come. He's looking at his situation, even if it's hard, and saying, this is all the good things that God has apportioned for me. And you almost imagine him going out as like the first tribe, and they get their portion of their inheritance, and they get there, and they look out over that beautiful Jordan Valley, and they go, wow, this is my home. This is awesome. This is my inheritance. And David's saying, that's my experience in my life. I have seen the goodness of God and what he has done in my life, and I have a beautiful inheritance. God has done good things in my life. Also mentions cup. And I thought it would be fun to talk about cup. Now, the Hebrew word, because I'm a little bit of a Hebrew nerd, is kos. That's the Hebrew word for cup. Cup is often a symbol. It's an item. But it's also often a symbol in Scripture of different things. Sometimes of judgment, sometimes of blessing. So, if you ever run across the word cup, the way I can remember cup is the word kos in Hebrew. What do you set your cup on? You set it on a coaster. Yes, so whenever you see a coaster, remember, the Hebrew word cup goes on that. Okay? So that's how you know how, whenever you see cup, you always know in Hebrew it's kos. And so David has built this, he's looked at God, he's looked at his people, and he's looked at what God has done and said, wow, God has been good to me. And so then he responds in verse 7, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins, talking about his heart, his inner being, also instructs me in the night season. I'm listening to God who has given me his word, who instructs me, who informs me. And then I'm going to take that word and I'm going to teach myself what God has done, what God has said. And then we get to verse 9 and David goes, therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Verse 1, where were we? We were at, I'm in trouble. Preserve me. In just a few verses, we've got to, my heart is glad. My glory rejoices. My flesh rests in hope. David's gone from, I'm in trouble, to, I'm okay. And how did he do that? Well, he started with, okay, I'm going to look at God, and I'm going to trust him. And I'm going to look around and go, okay, what has God done for me? Well, he has great people. I know there's no God besides him, and he has done wonderful things in my life. Right before that, he gets to probably the most important part in verse 8. He says this, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. David says, because God is in my life and purposes to do good, he is for me, I'm going to be okay. That's the message of Psalm 16. Because the Lord is at my right hand, literally the position of favor. The right hand throughout Scripture is always given as his position of favor. When it says Christ sat down at the right hand of God, a position of favor. Right? The right hand was very important. And so when David's saying here, as he's going, God is in this position right beside me to back me up, to help me according to his will. And I know he will because he has promised. And so David looks at all the things around him and goes, all right, things are bad. I need some help. But I have a God who's, I have a God. I know he's real. And he has done such good things to me in the past. And I know he's going to be faithful to me now. And so now I can be okay. Even when maybe my circumstances haven't changed. And so when you encounter life, and the first thing that you're looking to do, and all the struggles and difficulties, and your health starts to tell you, I'm not going to be on your side today. Or when you get the phone call, the conversation, when the things that want to irritate you the most seem to come up all on the same day, you go, okay, let's remember, who is my God? What has he done? What is he going to do? Now, what is he doing in my life? What has he promised to do? And now I can rest in him because he is with me. The enduring presence of God in your life is going to be the most helpful thing when dealing with life's struggles. And so the psalm ends. But it doesn't. David goes on, and he starts looking towards the future. See, nothing in his circumstances has changed. David knows who his God is, so he starts looking forward. He says in verse 10, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." In verse 11, "Thou wilt shew me the path of life." You will show me the path of good things, path of blessing. "In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." See, David looks to the future and says, I have hope. God's going to show me. He's going to direct me in his will and in the presence of God. God is not aloof. God created joy. So being in the presence of the one who is created such things, there is going to be absolute fullness. Being with God is where it's best. And we get in verse 10, and David says something about what looks like resurrection, where there's this idea of, wow, David's thinking about the afterlife. And this passage becomes very interesting because in the Old Testament at that time, they didn't have this fully constructed concept of heaven and the new earth and the new Jerusalem, all of that. Remember, this is the time of David. They didn't have all the New Testament. And so our knowledge of what was going to happen after you die is much greater than theirs. God had not revealed it. And so David is seeing something here about the afterlife, about what's going to happen. And I want you, with me, to turn to a particular passage that helps us understand what David's seeing, what David's getting at here. Acts 2. Okay, turn your Bibles with me to Acts 2. You're going to encounter some familiar words. Because here, Peter, the Apostle Peter, on the day of Pentecost, when the church has received the Holy Spirit, is quoting from this passage. It starts a little earlier, but we're going to pick it up at 2:28. Well, let's pick it up at 2:27, because that's where the quotation is. It says in Acts 2:27, "Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Okay, we see it again. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. And Peter picks this up and he says this. He's looking at this psalm and he's going, okay, this is how I want you guys to understand this. He says, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre, his tomb, is with us unto this day. Wait. David's dead. So what is he talking about? In Psalm 16, Peter clarifies, David, therefore, in verse 30, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Okay, so David knew God had promised him, from your line is going to come the Messiah. And David, being a prophet, he's receiving divine revelation from God. He's seeing this. He spoke of the resurrection of Christ in verse 31. That his soul was not left in hell or the grave. The Hebrew word for hell in Psalm 16 is Sheol. It's the place of the grave. Neither his flesh did see corruption. So David in Psalm 16, he's writing about his situation. He's talking to God and he's working through it and he sees this picture of preservation. And so David as a prophet foretells that one day someone from his line is actually going to fully fulfill this idea that I'm not going to remain dead. In fact, I'm not even going to see decay, the body falling apart. There's going to be a resurrection of somebody, of someone from my line, who is in fact not going to stay in the grave, but is going to be fully risen. We know that person as Jesus. So turn back to Acts 16. Not Acts 16. Psalm 16. Now that we have that information, let's wrap this up. Turn back to Psalm 16. So David has gotten to verse 9. And he said, okay, I'm at rest. And then he starts looking to the future and he says, okay, I foresee God's revealing to me that someone from my line is going to come. He's going to conquer death. And that gives him this idea of hope. God is going to fulfill his promise. And so then David continues forward and goes, as for me, okay, right now you're going to show me, verse 11, the path of life. And I am going to know who God is and I'm going to enjoy joy in his presence. So in Psalm 16, David encounters a situation and he looks at everything around him and goes, okay, I need to look somewhere else besides everything that's happening. I need to look to my God. I need to look at who he is. He's the only one. I'm chasing after another God, wins nothing. And I have his people around me. They're excellent. I've seen what God has done in my life. He has preserved me. He's cared for me. He's promised me such good things. And he's going to fulfill those things. He's shown me. There's someone coming from my line who will conquer death. And he is with me here today, and he's going to guide me through. I can be at rest. So whatever you encounter, best thing for you to do is not look at what's necessarily going on right now, to look at your God and go, he is good. He is with me. And he has promised to take care of me, to work those things for good. So now I can be at rest. I have found my refuge. It's like when you enter that building after you're feeling like you're getting rained on, and you know you're getting soaked, and then you get to the door. It's like, ah, I'm not going to get soaked anymore. When life wants to dump all that stuff on you, find your shelter, find your refuge right here. Memorize that psalm. I have memorized that verse. I have set the Lord always before me. I've looked at Him. If He's with me, I'm going to be okay. As you go through the different struggles of life, you have a God who knows what you're going through and has shown you through Psalm 16, this is what I can do. This is what I can pray. This is my God. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much that you are our God. You are our chosen portion. You alone are what we need, and you are going to take care of us. As we go through the different struggles of life, Lord, I pray that we'd always look to you. I pray that I would look to you. Struggles happen. Lord, I know I need you. And I know, as for all these excellent ones in this congregation, they need you. May you give them strength. May you encourage them. May, as we pray, we look to you as our strong refuge. In your name I pray. Amen. If you need a